Sahana vavatu, sahanau bhunaktu, sahavirayam karavavahai, tejasvinavadhikamastamavidyavishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So, Bhagavat Sandarbha Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 3, Functions of the Chit and Achit Shaktis, page 113. The Lord says to Uddhava, the masters of the yoga system have declared that there are 18 types of siddhi and meditation, of which 8 are primary, having their shelter in me, and 10 are secondary, appearing from the material mode of goodness. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.15.3. Eta, me, siddhaya, saumya, astav, astavaut, patika, mataha. These 8 mystic perfections of mine are considered to be natural and unexcelled. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.15.5. Prahlad says to the demon sons, the Supreme Lord, though having a spiritual form, a pure knowledge and bliss, is falsely seen as an entity without powers, because of Maya, which creates this world with gunas. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.23. Commentary says, if the Lord were everywhere, everyone and everything should be omniscient. In answer to this, it is said that his powers are covered by Maya, which creates the world endowed with gunas. See, so then someone will say is, okay, if God is everything, then everything should be omniscient, this and that. The difficulty comes up is that it's covered, him, his internal potency, his potency is covered by the gunas. Right? Because they're covered by the gunas, then you're not seeing Krishna's potency. Right? Does that make sense? So the difficulty comes up is that there's always going to be this thing, okay, well, if everything comes from God, where does God come from? Or, okay, if God is omniscient, he's everything, then, you know, everything should be... They just use these kind of faulty logics because of the gunas. They're covered by that. Because the point is that his superior qualities are then covered by the material qualities. Just as we're covered by the material body. Yes?
The example is given that the sun is not actually covered.
Yes. It's like, yeah. Yes, that's a very good point. It means that you have the clouds, they cover us, but they don't cover the Lord. So, it's covered means you can't see how he's omniscient. Like that. Does that make sense? But the point is, if all knowledge comes from him, he has to be omniscient. Because he knows all knowledge. Because omniscient means you know everything. But if it's coming from another source, how do you know unless that source is limited? But if we're talking about unlimited, that means the knowledge is constantly coming. How do you all know all that? But since he is that knowledge, he's the source of that knowledge, all that knowledge he knows.
Yes. Unless he's the Nirguna Brahman, he doesn't know anything.
Yes, and then Nirguna Brahman, he doesn't know anything. Prabhupada in the TLC makes a very interesting point that the Mayavadis, instead of, means it looks like they're elevating themselves up to the level of Brahman. Right, but actually they're bringing Brahman down to their platform. That's actually what they're doing. Right, because Brahman then has no qualities, has no, you know, nothing. It's just consciousness, like that. So that's you know our position here is that we're consciousness. So they're just bringing it down to our level rather than trying to the jiva to become qualified to come up to the platform of the Lord. You know. So, I guess in that way, then they follow the descending process.
Maharaj, many Hindus say that if God is everything, then there's no need to go to the temple.
Yes, but then also if God is everything, then they could also, you know, why go to work?
Yeah.
Because just sitting at home is also God. And They could eat their furniture, you know. So they make this distinguishing there. So it's just an excuse not to go to the temple, you know, because then if everything's, you know, God, and so everything's that, and everything's all like that, and God is the family, therefore when you're at work, that's also the family, so you don't actually have to go home to the family, you know. I mean, we can just keep going with it. But the point is because people don't want to follow authority, they're looking for excuse. As soon as you give the first one, everybody's satisfied. But, you know, like that. Yes.
Actually, when devotees make similar point that I have duties at home, so I don't need to go so much to the temple.
Yes, and then, but what association are they getting? Yes, they're associating with the Lord, and there's non-difference. But the point is at the temple, then there's all these other devotees that you associate with. So it doesn't say that associating with the Lord is the key point. It means it's all about associating with the Lord. But it's about associating with the Lord with the devotees. So that you're not going to get at home. You know, unless your three-year-old daughter is the kind of association you're looking for, and then yes.
Could we say also that as long as we are attached to our senses, it's important we put ourselves in an environment where those senses are to the maximum extent connected with the Lord?
Yes, and yes, that would be a very another point, is because at home, there means the senses are engaged, but it'll be limited compared to what will be at the temple. The volume of flowers, the volume of the kirtan, the devotees, the arrangements, like that. So the point is that if you can't go to the temple, that's why then you have deities at home. Rather than I have deities at home, I don't go to the temple. Standard is to go to the temple. Right? And so basically you'd see is everybody lives around the temple, everyone can get to the temple. But if you're farther away, that's where you have deities. So that's where you have, you know, your own worship at home. Does that make sense? Because everybody else technically doesn't require deities. Right? Means they can have an altar, but they can just have pictures and everything like that. They don't technically have to have deity because their deity is the temple. Any case, even if it's there, their deities are an expansion of the deities, of the place. You know, if you're from that place and your deities, it'll be from that place. If you're from somewhere else, then yes, you can see it that, you know, the deities were there and then you've moved to this place, so they're still an expansion of wherever it is that you are from. You know, that doesn't matter because it's all Krishna. But one should see is that you don't have the volume of engagement of the senses, you know, the regularity of that volume. You don't have the devotees, the association. So there's so many more advantages. Because there'll probably be more service. Like, if you stay at home, there's a good chance you might not wash pots, but if you go to the temple, you will. You know, or do something more than just that. Does that make sense? Yes. Right. And you don't need to do it. You can do the, I would say is, whatever specific and direct worship you're doing, like the bathing and those kind of things, that you continue. But things like doing the Mangal Artik and the Darshan Artik and, you know, all that kind of thing, whatever you're doing, those things, that you can do at the temple. Does that make sense? That, or you can wake them up before. Just depends upon how you want to work it. Generally, you'd wake them up, then you could go to the temple. Like that. If you can do the puja before you go, then you do it. If not, then you do that when you come back. But you can always wake them up. Because at 3 a.m., that's when you go to the temple. Oh, then you can do it after. I mean, it's just, you just see what works nicely. The point is that if you're going to the temple, then you don't have to do a morning program for your deities. You do whatever worship you're doing, but you don't have to do a morning program for them. But if you don't live near the temple, then you would, since you can't take advantage of the morning program, you do that at your house with your deities. That's why I was saying, if you just have pictures, then you don't have to worry about waking them up, putting them to rest, and doing all these different things. You know what I'm saying? So that would be a natural standard. But somehow or another, by the Loi Bazaar standard, is since I'm in the market and they have deities for sale, then I will buy them. You know, so that's so nowadays everybody has deities, though they don't technically need. You know, it's just a fashion. You know, it's a nice thing. You know, like you say, I got my tattoo, I got my deities. You know, but, you know, it's the you got the thing. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you very much. Yeah. Many times, senior devotees they recommend installing deities because among the five items, one is deity worship. That is the reason why they say that we should install deities.
Well, we should install deities in our house, but if we're going to the temple and doing the program there, why do we need deities in our house? Because you say the five main items, but going to the temple, those deities don't count as deities? That doesn't count as part of the five items?
Yes,
they do. Yeah, so there's no deity. It's if you're not regularly coming to the temple, then you have deities that you hold. Like that. Does that make sense? Because for us, the congregational chanting is more prominent. So getting together, doing kirtan together, all those things, that's more prominent. If you're a Shri, then yes, with the finishing of initiation, then yaga, you get deities. It's just part of the thing, and you have to do all your puja and everything there. But you see a lot of times, especially the Brahmins, when they do their, I don't know about the Shris, but the Madhvas, when they do their Shaligram work, they come to the temple and do it at the temple. Like that, they all see Brahmins sitting around. I can't remember if I saw the Shris doing that. I didn't pay attention. Sorry,
Shris do at home morning and evening.
Yeah, but the Madhvas then their Shaligram worship they do at the temple because it's simple. They have a box that has two Achman cups. One has a lid in it with holes, and the other one doesn't. And they have a conch shell. They do all the things like that, and then they pour water, pour it on. They put the Shaligram on top of the Achman cup that has the lid with the holes, and then they pour the water and this and that. They do all the prayers and all that, put them all back in the box, close the box, and Hari Paul. That's what Prabhupada said. Shaligram Shia is wake up sleeping, wake up sleeping. Yeah, that's their pastime. Wake them up, do puja, put them back to sleep.
One day, some devotee, she asked me regarding the standards of deity worship at home. And she was asking that, can we put the deities to rest using mansik? Like, not actually, but because she doesn't have the facility. So can we do that?
Yeah, as long as you put the time, effort into putting them to sleep like that. Okay. You know, mansik means you go through the steps. You by meditation, do everything. Okay. As long as they do everything. Can't say it's mansik means... Yeah, you know. That's not monastic. This, Prahlad Maharaj says to the demons, okay? Although having a spiritual form of pure knowledge of bliss is falsely seen as without powers because of Maya, which creates the world with gunas, right? So, because his potencies are covered by Maya, he's covered by Maya, then we don't see that he is the one with power. He is the one that's pervading everything. That he's the one that knows everything. Right? That's the whole thing. So it's like Prabhu mentioned, you remove the clouds, you see the sun. So that's why we're so much trying to rise above the gunas, because then we can actually see the Lord. But being under the gunas is totally overrated. Right? But so that's why we have to try to go beyond this. The Lord were everywhere, everyone, everything should be omniscient. To answer this, it is said his powers are covered by Maya, which creates the world endowed with gunas. Right, so when his power is covered by his Maya, that's what is the creation of this world. The creation of this world is the potencies that make it work are covered, so you don't see them. right? That's illusion. Does that make sense? Yeah. Once it's just like we went to see this big hotel in Delhi, and let me say. But you know, when you come in the front. There's the, you know, there's the reception. There's that kind of, what do you call it, the foyer, you know, that kind of thing. There, you have your elevators. You go up to the rooms. You know, you have your room. That kind of thing, like that. So as far as we go, it's a big hotel. You know, it's got, you know, it's big. And it's got all kinds of facilities and all that. And you think that's the hotel. But if you look at that, you know, there's two people behind the desk. There's a couple of people walking around here. And that, how does the place run? You know, you don't think about it because it's not about how it runs. It's about how you're going to enjoy the place, right? That's the whole idea. People don't go to the hotel. Oh, I want to go to this hotel because it's so nice to try to figure out how it runs. You know, that's generally not a, you know, 5-star hotel means more to work out. So that's why we like going to that. And
it might be a subculture.
Yeah, I'm not totally into it, so I go to 3-star hotels and like that. And
there are storm chasers, so maybe there are also people who like...
Yeah, could be. It's probably a very small, dedicated group, but yeah. So then, because it was, we were seeing how the place was working. As soon as you come in, they kind of show this, that, explain this and that. Then there's some doors that you never see. You walk through those. And there's as much of the hotel floor space that's behind those doors as there is, you know, that we see. You know, as the, how you say, the lay persons under the modes of nature, right? So the whole thing is this, all that's covered, because they do that specifically. You can't see that. You don't want to see that. I mean, with the Lord, then you would want to see. But the whole point is that the running of it, you just don't see. It's supposed to look like it just happens. You know, it's just you get out of your car and then your luggage is in the room. You just go to the desk and then it just happens. But it's all, there's this huge thing going on. So Krishna's running the whole material creation, but it's the material creation because he's running it is covered. In the spiritual world, it's not covered. So that's the spiritual world. Here it's covered. Does that make sense? Okay. The commentary says, because yat, the jiva embraces avidya, ajam, through maya, he serves the gunas, body and senses, and mistakes them for himself. After that, anu, he takes on similar qualities, sorupatam, and with qualities like bliss, oh, I didn't turn the page. Okay, well. I mean, it matches, but.
It does.
Okay.
So, we can do it again.
Hello. Excuse me. Yeah, one second. Let me finish.
I'm trying to finish the sentence.
Yeah, okay. One should understand that the Lord's powers, like his sarup, are beyond maya. Though the verse says his powers are covered by maya, which causes the world composed of gunas, right? So that's the thing, is he's beyond maya, but it's covered, right? So then we'll say, oh, this is contradictory, so this can't be right. But then if the example is given that the sun and the clouds were covered by the clouds, means that what is created by the sun is covered by the clouds, right? And so all the plants, this, that, life that goes on is there because the sun's there. So that's all covered by the clouds, so we don't see the sun. We don't see the potencies. We don't see how it functions. Right. His powers are beyond maya, since before this, in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.6.23, it was stated that he is the Supreme Lord, Parameshwara. Shruti says, one unborn entity satisfied follows another unborn entity, a female who is red, white, and black, and produces many offspring of similar nature. Another male gives up this female who has been enjoyed. Svetasvatara Upanishad 4.5. Isn't the Vedic Sanskrit fabulous?
Yeah. It was yellow, blue, and
it says female. Every day, red, white, black, white, it's sometimes yellow, sometimes, you know, sometimes blue, you know, yeah. What is the nature of Bhagawan? The Lord has knowledge, powers, and Shakti. Devoted to meditation, they saw the Shakti of the Lord hidden in its gunas. Svetasura Upanishad 1.3. Swagunai means by his own nature. Yati tagochara vacham manasam. His nature is beyond material worlds and mind. Vishnu Purana 1.19.77. The Shrutis speak to the Lord. Anucheda 23. Right? So the Lord, he is satisfied. And how you say? You're having the material energy who's producing living entities that are like this material energy. Right? Means all the living entities we see here are originally from Krishna. Right? So the souls are from Krishna. Maya doesn't produce them, but it produces the bodies that are like the material energy. Right? This is where the principle is that the feminine nature, that the masculine then is of the same nature. Does that make sense? So the son follows the nature of the mother. Right? Yeah. So then this principle is there. And so that's how it's all coming into play. It's all being covered. But we see is one is satisfied. Like that. Who's beyond. Right? Yeah. Anucheda 23. All superior qualities which are eternal, such as equality to all beings and attachment to my devotee, reside in me. I am beyond the material gunas, not dependent on material qualities, and am the devotee's friend giving love to them. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.13.40. So what do you have to say? So it says all superior qualities, which are eternal, right, that resides in the Lord. That's his sarup. So we see these 64 qualities, those are his sarup. They're superior qualities. And they all reside in the Lord. So then what is then covered by the gunas, those qualities, those originate back from the Lord, but that's not how the Lord is functioning. Right? That's how then we can have seemingly good qualities but still be mundane. And so they don't last because he says here, which are eternal. So that's why we say the living entity doesn't actually have good qualities, a materialist. Because they may have for this lifetime, or even they have very good karma they may have for a few lifetimes. But it's temporary. So they don't actually have them. They don't have the body, they don't have the qualities, they don't know all these things. Right? Yes.
My Lord's Shaktis and qualities, are they same or different?
The Lord's
Shaktis and the qualities.
Yes. Because the qualities are the Shaktis. They can do something. Like all-pervading. It's a quality, but it's a Shakti.
So it's manifestation of the Shakti. How Shakti is perceived by that quality.
Yes. That's how...
Quality is the noun and Shakti is the verb.
Or the other way around.
Shakti is the noun.
Yeah, because then you say it's the Shakti, and then the quality is then how you act. Because where are the qualities? When we're doing with Madan Mohan Govinda and Gopinath, where do we place qualities?
Govinda.
Yes. So that means it's action, it's applied. Like that. So that's the importance of quality. If they're not applied, what's the meaning of them? Right, because you notice their existence in application. As Shakti exists, whether it's expanding or not, or whether you can appreciate it or not.
So it's perceived in action.
Yes, qualities are perceived. Like if you say someone's humble, how do you define they're humble? Because you saw an action. Mm-hmm. You know, or someone's powerful because of an action. You know, or someone's sober because of an action. You know. Or something connected with action. Okay. So that something sense? Yes.
Also, Maharaj, the Shakti and the Sabdin, the Shakti and then the...
Okay, yes.
Then. And also in Shtai Shri Kundita, Srimati Radharani is described as the happiness and the pleasure of Krishna.
The happiness and the pleasure of Krishna. Okay. Well, yeah, that's the... But you heard... says Radharani is described in where?
In
Chaitanya Charitamrita as the happiness and
the pleasure
of Krishna. So he's seeing his qualities.
Yeah.
Like that. Because the point is we can separate and analyze them, but when they're applied, you don't have to separate them. That's what we're meaning, is that Krishna and his qualities, his energies are non-different, but at the same time is you can identify a difference. Right? Because he's the possessor of these. And then from that, because everything's expanding from him, they can also have these qualities. But they have these qualities because of their connection with him. So that's why the devotees, then they manifest those, you know, 50 or even 55 qualities. You know what I'm saying? When we're here, then we see 50. But it's not that they can't, the 55 can't be used. You know, especially you see the great devotees or those from the spiritual realm. Does that make sense? Because that, you know, that's bigger. That's like, you know, omniscient or all these different things, all the mystic yogas and all these kind of things. But those last ones, you know, creating the universes and that, then we don't do. Like that. That's kind of, how you say, above our pay grade. But as Shaktis do, and so they're devotees, so in that way you can also say is they have all these qualities. So that's why you see is the devotees have all these qualities. We as jivas, then we'll have less qualities. So we follow those that have more qualities. So we can take part, because our qualities will have a place within those bigger qualities. You know, within creation, you're going to have so many qualities used. So we can take part. We can't affect the creation, but we can take part. Does that make sense? Like Brahma, due to the mode of passion, then he can do the secondary creation. But the ingredients, the blueprint, the potency for making it work, he can't produce that. Is that?
Yeah.
So all superior qualities are Krishna. The bad qualities come up because of not being God conscious. So they'll be part of the avidya shakti. You know. So then that avidya shakti, that'll produce the three modes. Right? The tamasa, taijasa, and vaikarika. Like that. Does that make sense? So we'll get a reflection of the good ones that are from goodness. Right? But it says those qualities that are eternal, those are Krishna's. The qualities here that aren't eternal, means none of them are eternal. Those aren't him himself. They don't represent him. Though they're his shaktis. Because Krishna always has those qualities. While here in the material world, the qualities being temporary, they're not always manifest. So that's important. Because, does that make sense? So from the deductive perspective, then you see Krishna always has these. Then it comes down. It's just like, it means in reality, you know, the sun is situated in space, and if you're up in space, then it's always light. Right? But then when you drop below the clouds, that's then when it takes on all different kinds of, you know what I'm saying? It can be just, you know, plain and ordinary and boring, or it can be raining, or it could be, you know, hailing or snowing, or, you know, all variety of things.
Prabhupada says
that
Narad Muni is the original spaceman.
Yes, he's the original spaceman. Yes. So I we could probably say, though, in most temples, our brahmacharis do a good job also.
Yes. You know. Representing the parampara.
Yes, they're in the parampara. Yes.
Maharaj, can you say that the gunas are just different moods? In which you can be not God
yes.
conscious.
Yeah, that's right. Gunas, it's qualities. That's why we say guna and karma. Karma means the knowledge and skill. Guna means the qualities he has. So that's what you're saying, like yesterday in that question in the class on the management. The problem is gunas aren't brought up unless it's just they can see the efficiency. Okay, if you're nice to people, then they work harder for you because, you know, the person, but they don't get into the value of personal relationships. So they exploit even the higher levels of relationships and the personal element for the impersonal point of making money. Because the goal is making money. Right? Means nowadays management, if it doesn't produce profit, it's not considered good management. But before is means that's Vaishya management. So you could say, yes, you put the strategic planning on that. You want to take corporate, then in strategy, you're going to put making money, making profit. Right? Then in operational, what are your options? You know, you have dairy farming, business and banking. That's your operational. Right? That's already established. There aren't any ways to make money outside of that. Right? Then you're going to have in the tactical, then it's, you know, what are the major elements of farming or dairy or business or banking, right? Then the mechanical is being how you're going to run those things. Okay. Does that make sense? So, but the problem is when you put it into the actual form of strategic planning, it's not actually that exciting. It doesn't look that good, you know. So therefore, you're taking the mechanical and trying to elevate it up the strategy. Then it looks okay. And then fine detail on, you know, how you say, then they may put down on the bottom. You know, like we would say, staple it. But they're taking, you know, how you hold the stapler, how you push, what the pressure you have, that, and make that as the mechanical. When we would just say it's stapled, that's the mechanical. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Maharaj, within the management, the first thing we are seeing is the goal. Because that means it is assumed that those who are going to manage, they already have the basic knowledge. Because
yes, they're supposed to, but where is that learned?
Yes, that's...
That's the whole point. They didn't learn it. Managers come from managers. So therefore, unless they grew up in a family of active managers and they were trained like that. Like you see, is like, let's say... In England, the royalty, right from the beginning, they're being trained how to behave, how to talk, how to walk, how to wear their clothes, what they can do, not do. So you'll probably see, you know, a 4-year-old, you know, member of the royal family culturally is way more trained than probably 99.9% of the people in the population. And already by there. You know, and then when they get to the point where they're, you know, actually taking responsibility, then the finer points will be brought out to them how they apply that principles. But they'll have learned all the principles just there. Right? Or at least the foundation. And then the tradition, they'd go to the Gurukul, that's where they learn, you know, the whole science and everything like that. Then they'll go back and apply that. Right? So they have the foundation from the family. Then they have the training from the school, then they'll go back and practically use it, you know, in training, in the governance. Then they're trained, you know. So the whole thing is starting from the bottom and working up. That's how it works. But this thing, just you're there and you've got good grades and you are snarkier and nastier than everybody else, and so then you got in and you got your degree and now you're doing your MBA, you know, with a room full of other snarky people, so you don't bother them because they could, you know, be equally or more snarky than you. So therefore everybody's cool, right? And they all just sit around and are all buddy-buddy, right? Like that. So the whole point is that who's teaching them qualities anywhere? Because otherwise, other than it makes money, that's the only, like, why is it that, let's say, a company like, Apple or Samsung, they have these big, huge lounges for their people? Right? For profit. That's all. It's only because it makes profit. It's not because they think that they really value everybody and they should be comfortable. You know, why are they going to spend that money? It's just they found that they get more. But it's an investment. They put money into that, but they get more back from it. That's all. So it's just straight business. So the point is that relationships actually don't matter in this formula. That's why a corporate strategic, layout has zero value for us as far as running a society. Running a business, fine. So if you already understand the strategy from the society, right, then applying it into education, into administration, or into business, then it works, as long as it's in the foundation of the mission. of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, it's extremely narrow, and that's why. Otherwise, means if you brought in a big time guy into some corporation, and he was there training and talking and you know doing presentations and going around and seeing and all that, 3 to 6 months you see major changes. What have we seen in 25 years? So that means because it won't work. You know, you can do it for the next 100 years. Corporate management won't work in our society because we're not a corporation. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, why would you use a toaster for boiling spaghetti? You know what I'm saying? It won't work. It's a toaster. It's great. It's not that it's a bad thing. So we're not saying corporate management is a bad thing. It's just for corporations. We're not a corporation. You know what I'm saying? So you have to know what tool goes where. So this whole thing, I feel like it, or, you know, I'm from a corporate background, so therefore whatever that is, everybody's got to do it. It won't work. You know? And even if they wanted to go corporate, why not talk to the big ones? You know, we have hundreds of guys that are bigger than anybody we have. I mean, even just start with the, you know, it means Ambarish Prabhu, like that. You know, and what's the uniqueness about him? You ever dealt with him? It's the good qualities. He's so cultured and so humble, and if you didn't know who he was, you would never guess who he was. Yes.
Two of the very richest people in England come to Dee to greet him at Soho Street.
Yeah, yeah. Every day they just come in and just like this.
Their driver is better dressed than they are.
Yeah. That way, when they get out of the car, they'll go and bother the driver, right? Then he can just go inside. Right? You know, they'll go, "Oh, excuse me." You know, yes, yes, and then he'll go inside and take darshan. Yes.
Part of the difficulty seems to be is that relationship is more of an abstract idea. It might happen or not, but profit is concrete. It happens.
Depends for who.
For some people, it's always happening.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. For some people, it's quite concrete, and for other people, it's not concrete at all. I mean, bills are concrete.
Yes.
But the wrong bills, because also, I mean, at least in America, green is also called bills, but that's not the bills they have.
So then people, and sometimes even devotees, they're not inclined to invest into deep relations because
because they haven't seen it. Just like it means it's just like what do you call it? The saying, "Money comes from money."
Yes.
So relationships come from relationship. Knowledge comes from knowledge, and you know how you say, protection comes from protection.
Bhakti comes from bhakti.
Bhakti comes from bhakti. That's the highest. Yeah.
You have to start somewhere.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. Protection comes. Well, we maybe say protection comes from Italy. You know. Yeah. Unless you're triad, then that's a little farther east. Yeah. So that's the whole thing. It's always discussing about that. So if there's something we would put to focus, it's just like, okay, even you're going to say, well, it means like that. Well, that, yes, one doesn't have that, one doesn't know that, and we're talking this corporate management. How many people come from corporate? How many people have the ability to work in corporate? I'm saying, it says like, you could probably venture to say that most people that are in the meetings learning this corporate manage, no corporation would hire them. You know, they might get a desk job, but they won't be a manager, they won't be a supervisor. You know what I'm saying? It's just, one is their disqualification as a devotee. They're not ruthless enough, right? You know, like that. So right there, they have too many good qualities to work in corporate, you know? But besides that, it's just the material qualification they just don't have. So that's the thing, is we have a different system. It means our movement in general is brahminical. Within that, we may have our various functions. You know, and so from that platform, that's how you get things done. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so that's how it works. So, you know, it's just like what you were saying. You know, you're down on the boardwalk there doing Hari Nam. And then, you know, some guy comes out of the building that's right there, you know, with one of those little things in his ear. And he's asking, you know, what's happening here and all that. You know, and you're saying, yeah, you say what it is, and then they understand it's not political or anything else like that, and then they go back in their building. Right? But that's because of who we are. That's why they're dealing in that way. You know, if it was something else, if it was turbans and beards and that, they probably wouldn't come out and just ask them like that.
They wouldn't ask.
Yeah, they wouldn't ask. They would just you just see little red dots. Then they'd know, okay, we'll keep moving.
SUVs with tinted glass.
Yes, like that. Big American ones.
Yes,
has to be American ones. They're the only ones gross enough that make the point, right? So that's the whole thing, is that mood and all that, is that it has its place. Because the point is let's say you have, you know, we take one of these books on management, you know, self-help, these management kind of things like that. Someone who is a manager and can manage, has the potential for that, and can use it, they read it, they'll pick up some good points. Yeah. You know, most of it, yeah, they know, and they'll go, oh, I never thought of that. But it's not that it's a new area, it's a detail with what they already know. Mm-hmm. And for them, they can immediately use it. While others, it's all a theory and this and that, like that. So the point is if you have someone from the platform of relationships, then it can work. I mean, you see, it's like, how do you know, you see, like, let's say, take for example, Jayananda Prabhu. The whole thing ran because of relationship.
Yeah.
Like that. I remember we were there for what year would have that been? Must have been 73, Ratha Yatra, in San Francisco. And so you have 300 brahmacharis there. You know, they've come from all over the place. And so, and, you know, you have one shower, literally. And so he's there personally encouraging everybody to take a 30-second shower. It's not that he sits in his office and tells the men, yeah, tell them they only got 30 seconds. He's there personally. And he's not yelling at you. He's just telling you, you know, there's so many people, we don't have time, please only take 30 seconds, you know, like that. And you would take 30 seconds. Otherwise, if some manager told you 30 seconds, you're going to try to at least get 90, right? You know? It's just, you know, just even if you don't need it, you're going to take it. But he's right there, so if you can do it in 25 seconds, you will. So that's the whole thing, is that it's personal because of that. He's there. He's on the cart. He's building the carts. People work with him. He's there at the Rath. There people are working. So that's why you see is that even though they were very rough, it was much more personal. Does that make sense? As far as being involved in Krishna consciousness, as far as having your own, you know, mundane quirks and all that, that they weren't very personal about. Because, I mean, what can you do with it? You know what I'm saying? So there'll be plenty of people who say, oh, they weren't personal. But that's because of weakness or lack in Krishna consciousness. So if you in Krishna consciousness had that mood, it was very personal. It was all about that. You could talk about anything, you know, anything, whatever you felt, and, you know, whatever, you know, things were bothering. You could talk with anybody. Does that make sense? So it was all about the personal. And then as we try to become more sophisticated and all this, now it becomes more and more impersonal. Does that make sense? You know, it's like that. No one wants. It's just a matter of management. What's efficient, streamlined management? You know, you want to talk about this? No. We just want to come to a decision because, you know, talking takes time. But it's an investment in, you know, just like you do business, you have to invest money. Right? So you have to invest time if it's relationships. So it's just a matter of what you want. So you gain the concept of relationships from relationships. I remember in, was it in Hungary? Because there they didn't have the phobia of having more than one senior person in the place at one time was, an inefficient use of money. Right? Because, you know, you pay for a ticket, you pay for this and all those kind of things, and then they want to get the maximum out of it. So if you have one person there, you get, you know, two or three classes a day. If you have two people there, you still only get the same two or three classes. You know, so it's a waste of money. So in Hungary, they didn't have this anxiety. Right? So then, you saw before that they'd have five, six senior devotees all there. And every year you'd always hear that devotees were always so amazed at the interactions between the senior devotees, because they were all there and their friends and hanging out, you know, when they're walking, they're taking prasad, they're just sitting around. Devotees were so amazed by just the personal interactions between them, the friendship, the depth of relationships, because, you know, everybody there would have known each other for the last, you know, 20, 30 years, you know, done so many things together and everything like that. So that's where you get relationship from. But if you're using the corporate, you'll never see that, because you'll never see more than one person at a time. Right? So unless the local leadership has that kind of nature, then you'll see. Because they have it. Because before it was temple presidents had that attitude. They were the ones that inspired. They were the ones that got everybody together. Is that sense? You know, because it wasn't about management, like I was saying. You know, if you go back, at least I can say in 73, early 74, Istogosti meant you got together and read, you know, Nectar Devotion or Chaitanya Charitamrita or something like that. And you read it and then you spoke on it and stuff like that. That was Istogosti. You know. Later on, it just became ghosty.
In Russian, gosti means visitors.
Yeah. Well, it's just a bunch of visitors come together. You know, it's just like you said, you know, in the river, so many straws come together and spend some time, and then they go off in their different directions, like that. Yeah. So that you can play on that. Ghosti. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, is that this comes from there. So you're only going to be someone who can manage and administrate. They can teach others how to do it. But if you can't, you won't be able to. And that person who can administrate, he can only teach people who have the actual nature to administrate. You know what I'm saying? So from administrators you get administrators. From managers you can get managers. But managers aren't automatically administrators. We take it that they're synonyms. They can be. You can call Yudhishthira Maharaj a good manager. But he's actually much more than a manager. Because manager just means you manage the material energy to get what you want. Leadership means you inspire people. They'll probably mention leadership means you're consistently inspired and you're able to inspire others. That's leadership. It has nothing to do with management. That's why you could see temples could be run by people who weren't managers, but they were leaders. So they could inspire. And people who knew management, they'd be inspired to do it. So they'd take care of the accounts and this and that. And, you know, the temple commander would run everybody around and all that. But the president could inspire everybody to follow the program. Therefore, then the temple commander, it was really easy for him to get things done. People wanted to get up, so waking them up was easy. So that's the thing. So if you don't have leadership, then if you don't have really excellent management, you can't function. And the problem is how many managers do we have? And if you have someone who's saying they're a manager and is not, actual managers will step back. Because they're practical. They're not going to get involved in something stupid. So then they'll just come and, you know, do something simple, serve prasad, do something else, and go away. Like remember seeing the manor. This one devotee, I don't know if he still does. He used to, means, you know, back before, he was the president in Vrindavan. You know, so he could manage that, an international thing, and, the, you know, work with the locals, work with the international, work with people from all over the place, like that. But in the temple where he's at, and all that, he just comes in, serves prasad, and he's been doing that for the last, like, I don't know, 30 years. He just comes in, serves prasad, does a really good job. Only afterwards he'll sit and eat. You know, when everybody's eaten, then he'll sit. But you don't see him getting at all involved in the management. Is that make sense? You know, so that's just the way it works. That's the... So the point is, but if you have, you know, some leadership and you have actual managers, then all these people will come forward. Does that make sense? It's just like... Chandragupta. You know?
Yeah.
So, does that mean all those, you know, generals and, you know, bureaucrats and warriors and all that weren't there until he came along? They were already there. He organized them. Then it becomes the whole empire. So that's the thing, is as soon as you have some of that quality, everyone comes forward. Otherwise, before, it was falling apart. So that's how it works. It's personal. Krishna is a person. Everybody in the spiritual world is absorbed there because of the person and that personal relationship. So that's why it works. So it's all about people and that personal. So it means we'll talk about it on the material platform, like it mentioned there. Oh, all superior qualities which are eternal, such as equality to all beings and attachment to my devotee. Right? So, but if they're working on the eternal platform, it's the equality to all beings, meaning that souls are all given an opportunity to engage in service. Right? But you can't say people's, you know, psychophysical nature are all equal. Right? It's all different, but you give everybody the opportunity to engage their psychophysical nature in the Lord's service. That's equality. But if you try to take it external and try to say it's equal, then you're going to have to say that water is the same as fire, is the same as bricks and all that, and, you know, is the same as air, you know. And then ultimately it's all ether, so you don't have to have anything because you just have ether. It's all the same. In fact, you know, that's the source of all the others, so if we just have space, we have everything else. Right?
So that's my one.
Yeah. So then the problem comes up is that then trying to apply this equality, we're dealing with dead matter and saying that that's all equal, when obviously it's not. Now, if you can't tell the difference between a Gucci bag and a Pucci bag, you got a problem. Serious problem. Yeah. So that's the problem is that we're approaching this and we're looking at the covering on Krishna's qualities and taking that's the substance. And then Krishna's qualities, the eternal principles and all that, that's, like you said, is abstract. But it's actually the other way, because we're going from the ascending, so we're taking it, what I see, what I perceive, what I have an experience in, that's real. But all this other stuff, I don't have any context for, so therefore, that's why it's called abstract. Abstract just means it's existing there, but we only call it concrete because of our particular experience with it. Right? Does that make sense? Like, let's say there's some kind of food, and I've had experience of it. Then I can say if it's good or bad. Then I say the food, it's concrete thing. But if I say something I don't know about, it's abstract. So then when we say is the concept of relationships is abstract, then that means then we have the individuals who find it abstract means they haven't actually contacted relationships. you know, ones that were positive, they found some value in. So then it's important that they have that, but not on the material platform, in the context of Krishna. Because otherwise, even if you want to give it on the material platform, how many people are really nice guys? You know, if you think of your whole life, how many guys are just really nice, congenial, you know, everybody's cool with them. You know, they just get along with everybody, and they're really, really nice. You know, it's like one or two. Does that make sense? So that's not what we're looking for. I mean, it's a start. It means that there's some, but, you know, they're also tend to be spaced out because they're just so much into interacting, they don't do anything solid. Yeah, they don't do anything concrete. Yeah. You know, so the point is, but if they've had actual people who care, people who do this and that. So in the Vedic, it's all about that. That's why the rules are there, so that you behave. You know, it's like in Mana, remember there's that one section where it's telling about how each relative is representing some aspect within the universe. You know, the father is the Petris, and the mother is, you know, something else, and the this and that, and, you know, who they represent, what mood you're supposed to have, and everything like that. So if you start with that, then it's going to be, you know. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is you have to, a revolution of the consciousness means the main thing is in the consciousness that we're seeing from the descending platform, that we're seeing it in connection with Krishna. It's always Krishna conscious. But it also revolutionizes all the other aspects in the life, the physical, the intellectual, the emotional. It revolutionizes that. The main thing, if you change the consciousness, you can get at everything else. But it also means those others will be changed. Does that make sense? And so, if nothing else, we haven't seen it in that, but we see here in relationships of Krishna and the devotees, and that's why Chaitanya Charitamrita is especially important. Because then we see practically how the Gaudiyas are interacting with each other. So, you know, then you actually see how the relationships are. You know, even if we don't see it around us, we can at least see it here. And be attracted to that and desire that. And you use it as much as you can, but if you focus on Krishna, you go back to Godhead, you'll be happy when you get there. Otherwise, you know, if you go back to Godhead and you find out the people aren't wearing pants, then you might not like it there. You know, because they probably wouldn't consider the churidars, you know, actual pants. But there's a good chance they're not wearing 501s either, so. So what to do? You know what I'm saying?
You should wear them as much as possible here. So
yeah, you can wear them all here, so you don't, because you won't get any more there. But then will it be balanced out, because you only have this one lifetime, and you have eternity? So maybe you have to spend a few lifetimes here. You can take birth as Levi Strauss, you know. Like that. Yes. It's not a matter of is it corporate, it just means that it's not as personal as it should be. Because the point is in one sense you can't say it is, because its number is the actual point. You understand? So, you know, this whole point of quality and quantity. So we want quality. That's the main thing. And then, since it's, you know, the modern age is all about quantity, why not quality in quantity? But if we're going to have quantity without quality, what's the point? It means they're hearing and chanting, so that's good. But the point is will they be able to stay? Because as you see here, superior qualities that are eternal. So you're trying to get them to that point. So it's just like they're only seeing the first aspect of Krishna's mission. Right? The second aspect means they may see the Jiva Doya aspect, but what about the Vaishnava Seva aspect? That's missing there. And then the Nama Ruchi. So that means the jivas that are coming to it, then they're being cultivated and developing a taste for the name. So they're taking a third of the mission, which is at least they have that part. You know what I'm saying? So that's better than nothing. Right? But it would be better as if they could understand that personal interactions and developing a taste. Then you expand what's already there. In other words, you don't stop what's going on. You develop it so it includes the other aspects. So if they have this drive to do things in big numbers, great, but also include the sadhu sangha and the nama ruchi. No, it just means that how much are they in that Bhakti Vriksha program? It's once every how often?
They should do four programs in a week.
In a week?
Yeah, but they also need to each hours in day because they have families and so many deals or not on the...
Yeah, it just means that you do what you can. The point is you have to make the family Krishna conscious that they're there, and that's going to happen because of relationships. You know what I'm saying? Kids do what the parents do because they like the parents. If they don't like the parents, then you end up with a goth or something. You understand? No? Yeah. You know what a goth is? Goth. Yeah? Yeah. So, not that there's a problem with goths, but I'm just saying is that generally they kind of go in that direction because they don't find relationships very, very deep. You know, that they're thoughtful, they're trying to do something, trying to find themselves, that's great. But much of the time, the impetus is that, you know, they don't find good relationships.
In the same situation, 20 years ago, we advised me that Sadhana was the first place and then preaching. I told the same thing for them, but for them it means that they should leave Bhakti Vriksha program because we just don't...
No, you just go to the Bhakti Vriksha program because the program's only so long. And then the rest of the day, then you do what you need to do. You know, or go to the Bhakti Vriksha program how much you can. Because it is association. You just find what works. You know? And if they harass you at the program because you're not doing that, then you don't go to the program. But the point is we're supposed to work things together, cooperate and all that together. So then you try to do as much, but the idea is that the leadership should kind of see that you have to take care of all these things. Because otherwise, yeah, you can go that very, very hardcore thing, but the whole point is what's the point of it? If you're not developing that relationship with the Vaishnavas and not developing a taste, then, you know what I'm saying? There may be an enthusiasm in the drive and a taste for that, and taste in the number is great because it's connected to Krishna. But the point is, it's supposed to be about a taste of Krishna. You know, so you have to be able to get to that point. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because otherwise, if you don't become Krishna conscious, then how are you good association for anyone else? Right? But it's not that we wait to become Krishna conscious before we start preaching. We do them together. They go together. Does that make sense? Yes.
It's interesting how the devotees, they were attracted to Prabhupada's good qualities.
Yes.
And he's a follower of the Vedic culture. And now it's interesting in development that this, the same culture is being opposed.
Yes, same culture is being opposed. And now you're using the covered qualities rather than the original qualities. Like that. Because the thing is you have to, it means the qualities have to be seen in context of how they please Krishna. Because otherwise, if we just go by the modern context, the problem is like it says, is they're not eternal. They're constantly changing. So what's, like I remember what do you call it? You know, it'd be, let's say, just, you know, how you say, American context, you know, because Americans, it's one of those things, you're American and proud to be an American, but at the same time, you have nothing good to say about the government or this or that or, you know, nationalism or stuff like that. You can be very, you know, how you say, not flippant or, what was it, dismissing about these things and all. And so then you would see, you know, in a general, very minimal expression of their Americanism. You know, 4th of July, you know, lots of firecrackers and fireworks and stuff like that. You know. But other than that, you wouldn't. Then, somehow or another, you had the 9/11. And then, literally, every third house has a full American flag. I don't mean one of the little dinky ones. I mean a full-size flag. And those full-size flags are really big. Either hanging from their porch, or they've actually installed a flagpole and raised the flag. And that's every third house, literally. And even on cars, you would see, as you know, how you have the, like on, you know, government cars sometimes, with politicians, you have these little things with little flags so you know that it's a government. You would have that on cars with American flags on it. They wouldn't put it on the front, they put it on the back. Because the front's, I think, specifically for the government. But then they put it on the back. Like that. You would just see it everywhere. People were so nationalistic.
In Israel, you see it every day.
Yeah, okay, yeah. See. Well, because they're always having them. There's always some scuds thing flying through the air or something. Yeah. But, you know, that's the point, is that, yes, yes. I'm just pointing to show the shame, you know, like that. It's like, you could probably, what was it? You would have seen that, what was it, 49? 48.
When it was incorporated?
No, just when it shifted from being Palestine into Israel.
Yeah,
48. 48. Okay. At that point, then you would probably notice the difference. Because before that, no one, you know, it's like, who Palestine? No one's raising. Yeah. Even now, no one wants to wave one of those around. I mean, so it's just this sudden thing that it can change in a moment. You know, they're talking about, you know, doomsday, there's like this, and the karmas will think this, and karmas will think, in a moment they can change. That's the problem, because they're not working with eternal qualities. Well, if we work with eternal qualities, like Srila Prabhupada was, then what he did back there in the 60s, you could do today, and it will work. It's not that it doesn't work. Like I say, when they first went into Russia and they opened up, they went and just started the Hari Nams and, you know, the programs and the deity worship and the kirtans and the prasad distribution and home programs and everything. Within a very short time, they had 100 centers. That's way more than America. You know, in America, it had taken so long to get to there. Just like bang, like that. And while over in America, they're saying, oh, you can't do this stuff anymore. It doesn't last, you know, because, you know, it's that's from a previous time, not from now. As if Vedic is temporary. As if Krishna consciousness is controlled by the modes. So because of that, as Prabhu was mentioning here, is that if you shift the consciousness from the eternal to the temporary, then you can only get temporary results. But eternal always works. Right? The commentary says, okay, yeah, here. I am beyond the material gunas, not dependent on material qualities, and am the devotee's friend, giving love to them. So that's where the relationship is. So we have to turn that to there and understand how Krishna has this relationship. The commentary says, what are his qualities? He is without qualities which change, aguna. His qualities are eternal. So that's the whole point, is we'll say, oh, these things change, life change, people say, then we're not dealing with that. We're dealing with the eternal. In Narada Pancharatra, it is said, Nama sarva gunatita sad gunayadi vedase. I offer respects to the Lord, filled with all good qualities, beyond the material gunas. Brahma Tarka says, the Lord is called possessor of qualities because his qualities belong to his Swarup. The qualities of Vishnu and liberated devotees are non-different. Right? It's just the volume of it, but we got the regular pigeons back.
No.
So the turtle doves are okay. These guys are okay.
They produce the same effect.
Not quite. They're a little quieter. They don't make so much noise. Yeah, but it's a little less mess. The other ones make more mess, like that. The bigger volume is the other ones. And those ones, they have a serious amount of volume. It's not just volume, but volume of volume, if you get what we're meaning. Yeah, so you understand? These guys, these are turtle doves. They're okay. The other ones are pigeons, you know, like that. So, different. In the Kalika Purana, because if these guys are here, the other ones don't come. So better these ones than those ones. Right? You know, it's like better the enemy you know than the enemy you don't. Yeah. Yeah. So that one, yeah. In the Kalika Purana, yeah, so the devotees have the same, liberated devotees have the same qualities. They may not have in the same quantity, because Krishna is unlimited. But in the context of them and their relationship with the Lord, it's sufficient. Right? Because Krishna has unlimited, because he's dealing with every living entity. He's the source of all that. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. In the Kalika Purana, Devi praises Vishnu. How can I describe the forms of the Lord, since Brahma and other devatas and austere sages cannot describe them? How can I, a woman, understand the qualities of the Lord, who is beyond material gunas, since the devatas, demons, and Indra cannot understand his form? Right? So she's pointing out that Krishna is beyond all this. And so that being beyond is only by his grace. It's only by that. Because otherwise we see the other great intellectuals and powerful people and all that, they can't understand. You know, so here, devatas, demons, Indra cannot understand his form. Right? So from the material platform, it won't be understood. So it's from the spiritual platform one can understand. Does that make sense? So it's through spiritual consciousness one understands. Because we see Kunti Devi, her prayers are very renowned. Like that. And why? Because they're on the transcendental platform. So from that, then it works. On the material platform, it's not going to work. Right? Because you can say, as you know, oh, you're saying that for women, yeah, it won't work. But we're saying the men. If it doesn't work for Indra, the devatas, and the demons, it's not going to work for anybody. So the point is, from the material platform, you can't know. From the spiritual platform, then you can understand. So one has to discriminate. That's the first verse. One who can tell the difference between what's matter and what's spirit, that's actual intelligence. That's real knowledge. Everything else is illusion. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini ki.